Blog Talk Radio.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left. Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die.
Take me to the King.
Praise God, praise God. That was Take Me to the King. And we are, just so you know, we are having technical difficulties. Storms have hit not only the Midwest, but I was watching the news, and it has hit different parts of the country. And so the service provider that we have, they sent a note saying that we would possibly want to reschedule. However, we're going to keep going, and we're going to pray that the Lord will see us through this and that the system will work. We still got a lot of different things going on, and if we can't play any music or if we can't play any clips, just bear with us, and we'll just talk and walk our way through the program for this evening. We'll try to get you in if the mics work. If the mics don't work, then we'll figure it out. But they did notify us that they are having technical difficulties, and so we're just going to try to move forward anyway and see how far we can get. And so for tonight, we have talking about a sensitive topic. The topic that we're going to talk about tonight is handling loss, you know, a time to heal. And we know with the recent tragedy that took place in Boston, where there's 3 confirmed dead and over 100 injured, that every now and then something like this, when it happens, it reminds us that life is truly a precious gift from God. And it also raises the question, how do we handle loss, especially when it's unexpected? When you wake up in the morning and planning your day and you set out to send your loved ones on the way and something happens and they end up not returning home, how do you handle that when it's a shock? And so we want to talk about that tonight. We also want to give encouraging words to the people of Boston. We want to lift up the people of Boston tonight and really anybody. In Texas, they had in Waco, Texas, they just had an incident where a chemical plant exploded, and the casualty number is higher than the casualty number in Boston. But the Boston situation was an attack, and it appears that the Texas situation was an error or some malfunction. And so we want to pray and give encouraging words today. We want to be encouragers today. And so the whole entire broadcast will be dedicated entirely to that end, dedicated to encouraging somebody and dedicated to praying for somebody, and also dedicated to getting some help in terms of how do we deal with loss. And so we're not going by our regular format today. We're kind of breaking it up. Let me see if Brother Dennis, are you able to hear me?
I can hear you very well. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Okay, so we got your mic going. And we'll try to get, we got people calling in already. We'll try to get these mics going. But Brother Dennis, a sensitive topic. It's been all over the news. You've seen it. I've seen it probably most of the world. If it hasn't been on the television, it's been on the internet. It's been in the workplace. It's been on text messages.
Right.
Over the last week, you, regardless of what form of media that you got it, got the information, you have heard about the tragedy that took place on Monday during a marathon run. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, just imagine how you doing something that you probably love doing, and you turn around going to something that could be so heinous. You know, it's really a eye opener, as well as it makes you want to understand how we gotta hold on to our, you know, we gotta hold on to like every moment, every day, you know, say every time, every minute, every hour. We gotta, you know, keep that prayer going. We gotta always say thank you, because it's really true. You never know when it's gonna be that time. You know, I'm not saying be scared or look at a situation as this gonna be your last. You know how they say live your days, live every day like it's your last. Live it to the fullest. I think that's the saying or something like that. So the wheels fall off, something like that. But in a sense, embrace life. Embrace your health. Embrace everything that you do have already. And, you know, you got to thank God for that, man. You know, everything that's going on. So, you know, wake up doing something that I love doing and going to something that I know that is, you know, I don't know that I'm about to go and walk into a massacre or a tragic or, you know, some type of, what they call this terrorist act, you know. It's just sad, man. You know, it's real sad, man, but it's one of those situations of, man, what can you do? You know, just imagine it, just you going to something that you love doing and it turned into a tragedy. You know, that's man, my heart goes out to them, man. My heart goes out to anybody, man, that's going to something that you love doing and it turns into something terrible. You know, that could really mess with you mentally, man. You know, that's all I can really say about that, man, is that my heart goes out to the people, man, with what's going on, man. Sadly, man.
And let me ask you this. To the people in Boston, and I know I've never in my life traveled to Boston. The closest I've probably, is really not close, but just getting past the Midwest, I think I've been to Florida. That's kind of, you know, on the east side of the country. Even though it's not north, it's south, but that's the closest east I've been to Boston. And so I've never been there. To my knowledge, I don't have family there. To my knowledge, I don't have friends there. However, I think there are some things that don't require you having somebody there to justify prayer or justify an encouraging word. So let me just ask you, Brother Dennis, what do you want to say to those people that woke up Monday morning and like you said, was doing something that they loved and because of whatever heart or mindset that somebody had to set off two bombs, which killed and injured hundreds of people, or over 100 people, what do you want to say to the people of Boston by way of encouragement?
Well, I just want to just say, you know, just keep the faith going, you know. It's better as that situation has, you know, it may have come in, but, you know, those type of situations should bring that city together even stronger. You know, maybe it's something that was really missing in that city, man, and that's probably was the city of, you know, the brotherly love, the sisterly love, man, and that's probably what was really missing. I know we was talking about that a while, you know, probably a day or so, that, you know, how the World Wide Web has taken away the convenience of just speaking to somebody verbally. you know. So I just say, man, you know, hold on, help that person that really needs it, or, you know, somebody who ever lost a limb, man, you know, that's something as well. You know, they're going to need an extra hand or an extra leg or just an extra help, you know. And I'm not saying it like in a mean way. You know, if that person is injured, I'm just saying it to the point to where, it's, you know, a person really is going to need some help, man, because it's going to be mental. You know, that's a mental uproar. If I know how healthy I am and I'm working towards that, to go to something I love doing and boom, it just messed up my whole structure, my whole body structure, you know. You know, I just say, man, just hold on and keep that faith. And just show some more love. If they're not doing it, I never been a boss to myself, so I don't know how, you know, that city was holding up far as neighbor to neighbor, love thy neighbor. I don't know how that was, but I'm sure this is gonna bring it even stronger. So that's all I say, man. Just hold on.
Okay, praise God. Look, I'm gonna bring in because we got people calling in, and again, for those if I cannot see you in terms of seeing your number pop up, and I know you probably want to give a comment. We're working with the vendor, but there has been severe storms all through the Midwest, and so they are experiencing technical difficulties. So it might be a situation where, you know, a song will play inadvertently or a commercial will come on inadvertently. But that's a part of the system that we operate from, and they're having problems. So just bear with us on tonight. The most important thing is just we just want to let people share. We want to let people just come from the heart, whatever they want to say. And so we're just going to get right, Brother Dennis, we want to get right, see if we can get the people in. I want to bring in somebody else.
Absolutely.
Let me try to bring this person in. Hello, is Sister Trina? Hello?
Hello?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I had my phone on mute.
Okay, yeah, bear with us. Our system is we just trying to make it through here. But you have heard the conversation up to this point, and those that are waiting to come in, I'm coming down the road. So we'll be getting you in as soon as we can see your call. But Sister Trina, we're talking about the tragedy that took place this week, Monday,
mm-hmm.
With in Boston. And so tonight's broadcast is dedicated solely to, you know, allowing people to call in. You know, this is an internet radio broadcast, so it goes all over the country, in fact, all over the world. Whoever has internet will be able to log on, or they can simply call the number. So it has a large reach. And Brother Dennis, how many people at the last count that was a part of following the programming?
Oh wow, we right now, man, we like at 16,089 people. We almost at 17,000 now.
So
reaching out to.
And that 17,000, again, that's nationwide or even in other countries. But, Sister Trina, what do you want to say, either about the tragedy or to the people in Boston? Because it's a good chance that somebody from Boston could be listening. What do you have to say to those people?
Well, I would like to first say that my prayers goes out to them, and it's horrible what has happened. You know, we could have had this happen here in Flint. Just to imagine something as terrible, you know, people with careless hearts to just do something like that. I'm wondering myself, why did they do that? But, you know, to think about somebody just placing bombs just to, you know, just to kill people just without the thought, that's horrible. It's just horrible, Pastor Moore. No words, you know, because that's just terrible to see something like that go on. You know, it's like, it reminds me of the 9/11 tragedy, how, you know, those guys crashed into the buildings of the Twin Towers like it was nothing, like it was not live inside that building. And the same people did the same thing that placed those book bags around, like they didn't care. I saw on the internet that a book bag was placed right by the gate where people were standing and watching the race. That is just horrible. And I'm sure those are some of the people that may have lost their limbs and everything, but it just, I don't know, I just don't get it. I don't understand how a person could be so careless to do something like that, just kill people like it don't even matter. And so, but I do thank God that they have found the people that did it, and they have, you know, placed their faces all over the internet, all over the TV and everything, and I thank God that that has happened, because I know they will be caught fast, and so, you know.
Yeah, we know that hatred exists, and for whatever reason, I put a post up on the page and saying that, is there a such thing as justified evil?
Right.
Meaning that it's okay to do wrong to people because you feel or somebody may feel they deserve it. And there's actually no excuse or justification for a justified evil. And if somebody killed these people or injured these people simply because they were upset about something or they were mad about something and they felt like they just wanted to take it out on somebody else to get a point across, or because they felt that those people was deserving of that, that's a sad commentary. And this is why we're dedicating this show tonight, to say that we choose life. We choose to speak life. We choose to be about life. We choose to promote life, promote light, not only life, but promote light, which is not darkness. And we choose to allow the light to be on the inside of us, that even if temptation of darkness come our way, that we try to illuminate that light strong enough that we don't allow ourselves to be pulled or sucked into darkness. And so this is why we want to dedicate this broadcast tonight. And again, this is the Relationship Hour. Usually we're talking about, you know, relationships and how to handle whatever the situation is. But tonight we want to focus in on healing. We want to focus in on wellness. We want to focus in on, you know, after something has gone down, what's the next step now? And we want to talk about encouraging words, encouraging people to keep on keeping on. You know, somebody lost their little 8-year-old boy. I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow. This little boy hasn't even begun to live his life. And so we want to pray definitely for that family, but we want to speak life. We want to speak light. We want to be encouragers on tonight. Let me go to this next caller here. And I still got everybody's mic live. Okay, caller, I got a Mississippi call. And caller, what's your name?
Malcolm Moore, Sr.
We got Brother Malcolm Moore on the phone. And Brother Malcolm is a Mississippi Valley State alum. And he is my fraternity brother, by way of music fraternity. And it's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice. Glad to be on the line. Truly, this is something worth talking about and something that truly needs to be discussed.
All right. You want to go ahead and just, you know, after seeing and hearing, and I know you got a family, and I have a family, Brother Dennis got a family, you know, Sister Trina, you know, we all got people that we love. And after something like that happens, I can imagine after the fear of not knowing where your loved one is, or the fear of not knowing if, you know, they were hurt or injured, that, you know, hate or anger would set in. What was your thoughts when you witnessed what happened on Monday? Brother Malcolm, what did you feel?
Well, truly, you feel a sense of disgust, but at the same time, God allows things to happen and reveals things to you that show you that there are some things that the devil allows to happen, but the true life comes out. Because you can see so many people helping, immediately jumping in and helping those injured people to get to safety and carrying those that lost limbs and that were injured to safety. You know, and that's just the good in humanity that's coming out. All these tragedies that are going on are truly showing how Americans step up to the plate. Even though the adversity comes, there's a lot of good that comes out of it after the fact. There was a lot of volunteers and people that just stepped up. One man just looked into a lady's eyes and carried her to safety because of the look he saw in her eyes. You know, he was about to run for safety himself, but then he saw her in her position and immediately jumped to help her. They were speaking of that on the internet earlier, and I was reading. And it just shows the goodness of God, how people and their compassion causes them to jump to someone else's aid. You know, because truly this was a heinous act, that two individuals or however many people were just being the devil's pawn. For them to set a bomb off in a crowded place like that and injure so many people, that's just an act of the devil. But God has allowed some good to show up. Even though the news was broadcasting what bad had happened, you could see the good going on at the same time.
Mm.
And I hope a lot of people get to see that. You know, don't just look at the bad side, you know, because several statements have been made. Even the president mentioned how the people of Boston have stepped up and how they're going to overcome and have this marathon again next year.
Mm.
You know, it. What the devil meant for evil, God would turn it into our good.
That's right.
What I mean by that is that city has a lot of healing to do. But in that healing process, a lot of people are going to come closer together. A lot of people that probably wouldn't even speak to each other normally are now standing holding hands, you know, because of what has happened. And that's the type of good that I'm talking about that's coming out of these situations. You know, in 9/11, a lot of people that normally wouldn't even talk to each other start checking on their neighbors, you know, start looking at people different because you realize how short life can be. You know, we just had a tornado, I don't know if you know it or not, just touched down in Greenville tonight.
Wow.
And there's things can happen in the twinkling of an eye. You know, I've got a daughter that's in Hattiesburg at the University of Southern Mississippi. A tornado hit that campus while she was in her dorm. And, you
wow.
know, all we can do is trust God and pray that everything's going to be all right. But if you truly have a belief in God and your faith is strong, you really know that even through these tragedies, God is still in control.
Yeah, it is.
And he'll give you the strength to make it through whatever situation comes upon you. It's just I always try to look at the good in everything, and that's what I could truly see when I look at all the reporting I see the good that's coming out of this. You know, and I hope that's going to cause more security to be at a lot of these big events, cause people to start to pay more attention to what's going on around them. You know, if it's a bag just sitting there and nobody's claimed it or nobody's around it, I'm going to pay close attention to things now. You know what I mean? And that's right. What I think is going to cause a lot of people to do from here on out. You know, and this could have been a much worse tragedy. There were few casualties, but there could have been a lot more because those were pretty powerful bombs. And I think the second bomb didn't even completely go off.
Mm. And you know, you brought up a good point, Brother Malcolm. You bring up a good point that there's two ways to look at a situation. You can look at the situation from the eyes of defeat, or you can look at a situation from the eyes of perseverance. And we know that the Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, he says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you." And so we know that we got a God that's telling us, don't be dismayed. Don't, you know, I'm still here. And I think you said that by saying, and I'm still in control. Because there are some people who may experience, after a situation like this, may say, man, you know, where is God? Or where was God? Or why didn't God? And start questioning God.
Right.
Because a situation took place. And so I'm glad you said that you look for the good in every situation. And by doing that, we can ensure that the devil never gets any glory because he can't dwell in goodness. Help me.
That's right.
He can't dwell
when
in goodness.
When the light comes in, darkness has to flee.
Got to go. Got to go. Brother Dennis, and Sister Trinity, I'll just jump in. Brother Dennis, I know that, you know, it's hard to lose somebody and see the good in that. Or it's hard to have lost somebody and try not to look at the fact that you've lost somebody and see the good in it. Give me some commentary on that.
Well, it's kind of like that's really a real sensitive thing, you know. What I could say to that is love, man. Love has no no bias to it, you know. Love don't have no sight to it, you know. Love is just love, you know. You gotta love that person or the people, you know, in a way, Brother Malcolm said, man, you know, bringing a neighbor together that never even talk to each other, you know, that's showing love. Putting God back into that situation and showing love. The things that could have just happened, that it could have been way worse than what the whole situation could have been, is showing love, you know. So I say love, man. Love will bring everything back in that form or in that format, you know what I mean? Perfect example. We can look at the situation and I'm gonna ask that question again. We can look at the situation on how crowded that place is, right? How crowded the situation was. One of the guys that had the bomb, the backpack, was standing next to but he was off by himself, you know, as they showed in the picture. We don't know. But he was off by himself, and there was just so many people was in front of him. Just imagine if he would have just, you know, detonate that bomb, just threw it at him. You know, that person that had that bomb, even though he went after the dude, what they was doing, it showed a sign of fear. Because a coward would sit there and walk away from a situation versus a person that had a strong belief on what they was trying to do would have stood there. But just for the love for them people, how they was joining together, you know, rooting on the race, and you could just see that, man, probably put something in that man's heart. Probably made him second guess the situation. Look at that bomb that didn't really go off all the way. You know, it could have been something to where, you know, love could have kicked in on that person and said, you know what, I don't think this is right. So only probably maybe, you know, not probably maybe, but just only a few had got called into the situation of the confusion. You know what that means. When you're confused, that's when the devil come in to play. And the love probably cast over that situation, man, to where, you know, a couple of casualties got injured or, you know, got killed or, you know, something bad had happened to him, man. But love, man, love would take over anything, any situation. I don't care what it is. I could be sitting in your face. You could hate me to death. But if I'm showing love to you, you're going to feel a certain kind of way. You might start being, you know, hateful to yourself because you wonder, why are you doing this to this person and they ain't doing nothing but showing love? You know, that's what's kind of over my mind right about now, man. It's showing more love, you know?
Showing more love. And you're right. If we had more love in the world, you know, that's why love, that agape love, is one of the fruits of the spirit, because it puts you constantly in a mindset of, and we know that agape love is that selfless love, meaning that it's not a romantic love, it's not a come, you know, let's go out and eat love, but it is a love to say, I'm going to put you first type of love. It is a God's type of love. And so you're right, man. If we had more love, that agape love, putting people first or putting each other first, then we may get away from selfishness. And that was a selfish act to go and purposely intend on hurting people. And love was, and some people would try to rationalize that in their head. You know, they got love for a cause or a purpose or whatever they got in their head, or it made sense at the time. But the reality is, true love doesn't involve hurting somebody, and true love involves loving your brother and your sister, and loving them as Jesus commanded. And so we know that act was not a love act, regardless of what they say. It was an act of hate. And so, Sister Trina, how can we be effective in bringing the message of love to the world?
The only way that we can be effective in doing that is just take our prayers to God, because we can stand out in the streets and scream love until we are blue in the face, but people will feel however they want to feel. And Brother Dennis is right. We do need to spread more love in this world. We do. But it's just so many hurting people out there and people that don't believe in God. So, you know, if it's a lot of people that don't believe in God, they're definitely not going to follow the commandments of God to love their neighbor. So if we're standing out there in the street screaming that you should love your neighbor, you should love your neighbor, deep down in their mind, they're thinking, oh, whatever, I ain't trying to hear that. This dude did such to me, and I'm going to go get him back. And so the best thing to do is just take that to God and allow God to work that situation out, because, you know, humanity is a hard nation to deal with because there's so many stubborn people, there's so many people that's full of hate, there's so many people that live by their own rules, there's so many atheists out there, there's a lot of people that don't believe in God, there's a lot of people that serve false gods. So when you're trying to teach them about the one and true only God, God the Father, they're really not having, a lot of people don't have a lot of open hearts to hear that, because many preachers, and I'm sure you yourself, Pastor Mo, you have preached it, that this is the last days. And people really need to realize that this is the last days. And the Bible does talk about a lot of things that's going to happen in the last days. And I've said before to a few people, we haven't seen nothing yet. So if there's any people that's on the phone from Boston, I just encourage them to get their lives right with God before it's too late. Because it's going to be other things that go on in this world. And notice, and I know also noticed something, Pastor Mo, that when bad things happen, that's the only time people call on God or blame God for it. Any other time, God himself is just asking through his word, talk to me, just, you know, spend some time with me. But, you know, a lot of people ignore him on a constant basis. But when a tragedy happens, oh, God, help me, please. God did this, and no, God didn't. Because you have to understand that God is a loving God. And God's love shone through those people that was out there helping and willing to carry people to ambulance and you know, and people, I'm sure there was a lot of people out there donating blood to help out. And that right there is the love of God. But as far as somebody, you know, as far as a person blowing up something, that had nothing to do with God. That is the devil. The devil is roaming to and fro off this earth, and people need to understand the devil is not in a cage locked down in hell, because when the devil wanted to attack Job, God asked him, where did you come from? He said, I've come from roaming to and fro through the earth. So he didn't say, I just came from hell locked in a cage and I just brought. No, he's roaming the earth, and the devil is busy, and these are the last days, and people really need to get real and get their life right with God. And just, you know, things are going to happen. There's more things are going to happen, but the best place to be is in the safety of God's arms, in the safety of his arms. And so I just encourage everyone to just get it right with God. It's not time. No more time. There's no more playing. No more playing. It's time to get it right with God, because there's so many other things is going to happen, and that is a true witness from the Bible. So many other things are going to happen. So that's just how I feel, that people need to take life serious and get it together.
And get it together. And the Bible says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged.
Right.
For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever
exactly.
you go. I want to go back to Brother Malcolm. Two things. I know you mentioned that a tornado hit Greenville, and it also touched down at your daughter's university. And first, man, we want to just to make sure you're okay and your family okay.
That was a few months ago, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay, for your daughter. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, praise God that she no hurt, harm, or danger came to her, and you're okay now. With the tornado.
You're messing up,
yeah, it's the system. Hopefully, you know, we still, I don't know if we're going in and out. But,
you are.
Yeah,
okay,
it's breaking up bad.
Yeah, real bad.
Let me see if I can since it works out. Let me see.
What's going on is we've mentioned God so much that the devil's gotten mad. But he still won't win on this one either.
That's right.
Right. Well, until we can, until Pastor Mo get his microphone back together, you know, I think he was just basically was just about to just say how the tragedy is just really just taking over its toll. And also too, I know you lifted it up too, and I want to lift our prayers up to you, right, to you and your family, even though that did happen. Months ago, you could just see how it hits home, especially to the people that could be so far, so distance away, I mean, in different states, and it don't matter. You know, and then going off the recap of Sister Trinity, you know, you made a valid point there, that the devil is here on earth for those that are the non-believers. But you gotta believe, no matter how you look at the situation.
Believe.
You gotta believe what's going on, no matter what that situation is. That's the only way you can really embrace the understanding of
that
situation as well.
And another thing too, I want to say, you know, Sister mentioned about us screaming love, but we got to remember love is an action word. You got to
Amen.
Show love. You know, in spite of who is receptive of it, we've got to show love, because we're not responsible for how people treat us, but we're responsible for how we treat them. God is holding us accountable for how we treat everyone. You know, I had an incident a few days ago that this young man wanted to tell me that I had been brainwashed by the white man to believe in this and believe in that because he was a Muslim, and it kind of got to the point where he was standing there holding the Bible, trying to tell me what the Bible said. And I took him to several verses, and he didn't, well, no, I don't get that. I don't see how you get that out of what you just read. I said, you just read it yourself.
Right.
You know,
right.
If there are several people out there that are going to fight against the Word of God. You know, and the Bible tells us about these false prophets and these false teachings, you know. And I had to catch myself because I was almost to a point where I was arguing with the guy. You know, if I present God to you and you resist him, then I need to dust my feet and walk away. You know, I can't beat it across your head and make you understand, you know. If I give you all that God puts on my heart to give you, that's all I can do. You know,
right. And
we can't let these things that happen in this world turn us away from God either, though.
Right.
You know, that's the one thing that's why I say I look for the good in things, because God is always present. Even in that terrible situation, God showed up.
Right.
You know, because it was nothing but God that caused that other bomb not to blow up. It could have devastated more people than the first one.
There you go.
You know, God allowed that thing not to do any more damage than it did.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are not willing to accept that or realize God when he's moving. But we've got to see God. The word says, in all thy ways, you know, everything we do, every moment of our lives, we got to stay in God's will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Right.
Yes, we do.
Right.
And you know something, brother? We are going to meet those people out there that's going to try to tell us about the Bible and will not even believe what they're reading themselves. And I was just so frustrated with that. But God showed me in the book of Jude, and it's only one chapter, the book of Jude, where the archangel Michael was arguing with the devil. Now, we know that God is the one that buried Moses. We know that. But the devil was arguing with the angel saying, you know, where's Moses' body? You know, arguing with him over Moses' body. And so the angel just that for the long, because he said, I'm not going to argue with you because this is foolish. This is foolish. The angel knew where, you know, the angel knew where, you know, God buried Moses, so he's not going to argue with the devil about something that's foolish like that, because he knows that God is the one that buried Moses. And so the devil wanted to argue over where Moses' body was, and no, nobody know that but God, and the angel knew that. So he just rebuked Satan and left it at that. And so that just showed me, don't get frustrated. Just calmly walk away and know that you tried to help them and they wouldn't listen. Like Jesus told the disciples, if they don't want to listen, like you said, brother, shake the dust, walk away. You tried. Blood is off your hands. You did exactly what God sent you to do. And if they didn't listen, hey, that's on them.
And they said, man, get as far away from that town as possible. So, I mean, you know, that whole situation, when you look at that, man, it just tells you that the devil will pick a fight. And again, that's how you know when it's confusion in the midst of everything. The devil pick a fight with you just to see what they could get about you. I mean, if you look at the whole situation when Jesus got tempted, you know what I'm saying? When the devil tried to tempt Jesus, the same thing. He was twisting up and fumbling up them words, and just like how you was giving him them words and them scriptures, and we just won't stick on that for a second. You know, he was like, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're saying. And it sometimes it's not for you to understand. It's just sometimes you're just supposed to plant that seed, because when you plant that seed and walk away, you guess what? That person's going to go back and they're going to look for themselves to try to figure that out. Or they're going to say, hey, man, have you heard something like this? And they were like, man, okay. They might get that understanding through another spirit that they probably know, you know, as well. And they can find it in the Quran or whatever the situation is, and understand they know where you was going at with it, but the devil was in the midst of you two trying to cause strife and not even see the message. And that's the problem with us, man. With people, man, we don't see the message behind a situation when you in a situation. All you see is the ignorance, the hate, the negativity out of the situation, you know, and that's the whole, you know, that's the whole thing that we got to embrace the positivity, you know. So like you said, lean on the God, embrace in God's arms. You don't have to worry about the situation or what's going on. And sometimes, like you said too, sister, you said only Jesus knew where Moses was at. Sometimes you don't have to tell a person that's right. It is. Never let your left hand know what the right hand doing. You're not supposed to do that situation, because you know that person's not going to do nothing but great harm to the situation when victory is already prevailed in that situation. So you got to sacrifice sometimes in order to keep that devil away from you. You know, so man, come on, you know what they say, man, we. It's church now. I love this, man. I love this. You know what I'm saying? I love this. I love the love, you know what I'm saying, over the airwaves. You know what I'm saying? I know people are calling in, and I got to, you know, I know that the provider, you know, it's kind of messing up right now. But if you can get through, the telephone number here is 347-838-9106. If you can get through, press that one button. We definitely will try to get you in every step of the way. And we're trying to wait for Pastor Mo to try to get his phone lines back together. Pastor Mo, you there? Did you get your line back? Says you won't come in.
Can I say something, Brother Dennis?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I believe that this was a perfect time to witness about Jesus. When that happened and people was running around scared and afraid and not knowing what to do, that was a perfect time for Christians to be out there praying with people and, you know, inviting them to Jesus and allowing them to see, you know, who God really is, because we have to, as Christians, we have to shine our light. We have to do that. We have to be the ones who, like that brother said, no matter what a person does to us, God is looking at how we're going to respond. So we have to be the one to, you know, to be able to go out there and be aggressive as far as not making people read the Bible, because you can't make anybody do anything, but in a time of need, when you see that there, that it's an opportunity to witness to them, then boom, you got it. That's your 2 second chance to get Jesus in there. And when somebody is running and scared for their life, and you say, well, wait, let me pray for you right now. Let me pray. At that time, some people are desperate for anything. And so when you say, let me pray, they ready. They're open. They want that. They want something. They want a sense of calmness. They want a sense of peace. So when you jump in and say, let me pray, of course they're going to accept that. And then, boom, that's when you can say, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you received him in your heart? And if they say no, then that's the opportunity to invite them into the kingdom and allow them to know who your Jesus is. And so right then, that was an opportunity, as well as the Waco situation. Those were two opportunities to invite people to Christ. Not to, like you said, Brother Dennis, to love, not to hate, but to love and to show the love of Christ. And, you know, I just hope a lot of people took that opportunity as it was shown, as it was given to them. I hope they took it instead of using it as a hate situation and always saying that this person did that and this person. I really hope they took advantage of that situation. And that's what we all should do. Anytime that there is a tragedy, we should take advantage of that situation. Like it's this show that I saw. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of it. It's by Ayanna Van Zandt or whatever. You know, and it's My Life Back, I Want My Life Back, or something like that. And she was interviewing the rapper DMX, and she was asking him a question about, you know, why is he so angry? Why did he feel like that? And as he was telling her, he began to cry. But, you know, men don't like to cry, even though it's all right to cry, but men don't like to cry. So as he was talking to her, he was really pouring out his heart. He was wiping the tears out of his face as he was talking, and the more he talked, he was hurt and angry at the same time. So that was really a deep situation. And one thing about her that I did not like, after he got done pouring out his heart, she said to him, don't you ever tell that story like that ever again. I was like, oh my God. And he looked at her like,
wow.
He had this puzzled look on his face, like, huh? You know, and I'm like, no, that was the opportunity. That was the opportunity for her to help him, because he, you know, he's addicted to a lot of drugs. He's admitted it, you know, that's his life. He admitted it. But that was an opportunity to help him, and she did not help him. And because she did not help him, as the interview progressed, you know, she allowed him to see his son, which he haven't talked to in so many years. And so if they embraced, they cried. But at that time, DMX was still, I know, you could just tell he was still holding that hurt and that anger towards her because of how she approached his emotions. And so when she began to try to help his son, you know, tried to help him to understand where his son was coming from, he didn't want to hear nothing she had to say, and he was so angry, and he stood up, and he was screaming and howling and calling her out her name and didn't want to hear anything she had to say. But if she would have came at him in his moment when he was hurting, and if she would have came at him in a different way and embraced him and hugged him and let him know that it's going to be okay, that he would have been, he'd have changed. And that is like, that is showing the love of God. When you see somebody hurting, you have to embrace them. No matter who it is, you have to embrace them and show them the love of God, because that's what God does to us. He
He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So if we hurting in any situation, he's going to embrace us and he's going to take care of us. And he's going to walk us through this situation until we completely come out of it. And so any situation that we get as Christians, when we see somebody hurting and they're asking and they're crying out, whether it's a family member, best friend, whoever, friend you meet at school or wherever, that is an opportunity, I believe, to witness to them about God. And we really, as Christians, should take advantage of that, because this is the last days and time is running out. And, you know, it's a lot of lost souls that's going to end up in hell if we don't stand up as Christians and go out there and be bold and, you know, help them and show them. You know, that's our job. That's what Jesus came. And you know how he came on earth. He witnessed to so many people and pulled so many people into the kingdom of God. And so did the disciples. Like when the Holy Spirit came into that room that day, 3,000 people were saved. Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine being at the grocery store just a normal day, going to get groceries, and you witness to about 20 people, and they all give their life to God. How awesome is that? And so, you know, as Christians, we have to just we have to lose the world's mentality of things and look at things as Jesus would look at things, and just, you know, go out there just aggressively and just witness to people about the Lord, because it's not going to get better. And we have to help them to understand it's not going to get better, but with God on your side, it will be 100% better, you know. So that's what I want to say.
That's
we
it.
Need to just, yeah.
Because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
That's right. That's right.
Through all this, we can find peace and joy in Christ Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Right.
Amen.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm back on.
Well, amen.
It's been, truly, I've been working ever since you all couldn't hear me to try to get back on, and actually the system, you know, again, they did tell us that it would be doing this because we got more callers, but when you go to click them to bring them in, it goes in an hourglass and it's stuck, you know, like if you had an old computer, you're trying to go from page to page and it show you that circle. And so it don't let us bring them on, but we still going to try to get them in too. But I just want to say I've been listening to the conversation, and this has been good. I want to thank Brother Dennis for keeping it going for the last 30 or 40 minutes. The people of Boston and the tragedy that happened on Monday, and we're talking about dealing with loss. We're talking about love. We're talking about keeping the faith. We're talking about not losing the faith. We're talking about finding the good in every situation. And all of this helpful conversation and prayerfully, you know, somebody is being uplifted and somebody is really getting something special here. I do want to say this. Usually we will be able to mute your phone, like if there's background noise, but we can't. So if you got a phone that can mute, let us try to mute it. That way we can have the clarity on the line. But I want to throw this out there, and anybody can kind of jump on it. I want to throw this out there. How do we move on? I heard we talked about Moses, and we know that when Moses died, the children of Israel or the people of Israel went into mourning. But mourning only lasts for so long. After the sorrow is gone and after the pain has subsided and after the families have been comforted, after the family received prayer, what's the next step? What's the next step when Lil Johnny is not in the, his voice is not filling up the home anymore. What's the next step when the wife is not getting up to say, you know, baby, I got your coffee ready? Or what's the next step when the husband is not there to go and start the car if it's cold outside so his wife can get into a warm car? What's the next step for the people that has lost somebody? And right now it's confirmed three that have died. What's the next step for those people? And I'll start with you, Sister Trini.
Well, the next step is to just remain serious about God, Pastor Moore. That's just it, because you know that I heard you speak about the Israelites, and you know when the Israelites experienced a lot of trouble, when it was all over, they still forgot about God. Still forgot about God. And we have to, our focus has to remain on God, because no matter what happens at the end of the day, it's all going to surround right back to God. You know, like the Israelites, they went through that wilderness for 40 years for nothing, which could have took 40 days, because they wanted to serve other gods and do foolish things and not pay attention to what their father was saying, the Father God was saying to them. And so they had to basically keep going in circles in every situation that they were going through. They just had to keep going in circles. But if we would realize that no matter what, God rules, and that's just all to it, that, you know, we cannot get away from that. And we need to just keep our mind focused on God, and that's it, because he's still going to rule. Because what does the money say? In God we trust. As much as people try to turn away from God or deny God, he's still in the picture. In God we trust. And so no matter what, it all have to start right back at God.
You have to trust God.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this, Brother Diz, I'm going to come to you, Brother Malcolm. Trust in God, and I think Sister Trina said we're living in our last days. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to getting our lives in order, what do you want to say to those in Boston when it comes to salvation, when it comes to knowing if they die tomorrow? You know, where would their soul go, or what would be said at the funeral? You know, one of the saddest funerals that to go to, or even to preach, is when, you know, a young person has been cut down in the prime of his life, and nobody knows if he was saved. Or nobody knows if she was saved. And so as a preacher, we then turn to the living, and we appeal to those that are at the funeral, that if you ain't got your life together, to this is what better time to allow God to come into your heart and to know that if you don't make it home, that you say. And so what do you want to say by way of accepting the Savior, or by way of salvation?
I just say, man, if you don't know who God is, man, just get with somebody and learn. So that way you can have an understanding of why, you know, things like this is happening right now. That you know that person, whether they live a good life on here, you know, they go to a better place, or depending on the situation. And we'll just say for Boston, people that they didn't have no, you know, wasn't ready to lead this world right about now. It's not their fault. You know, get right with God and get with a spiritual advisor, a spiritual leader, and help them show you the way so you can kind of understand again, with what's going on, why there's life and why there's death in every situation. So that's what I would say to people there.
And truly, that's the message we also carry from this point on every day. Because like we said earlier, no man knows the day nor the hour. The four of us on in the conversation right now, we're not guaranteed to see tomorrow or actually the next hour. You know, we need to make sure that we live a life that's pleasing to God so we can see God, so we can go to heaven, you know. And it's something that we've got to preach. I mean, you don't have to be a preacher to preach the word of God. We all have to do our part.
And so,
one thing that I watched the Boston tragedy, one thing I seen and what hit me in my heart was, I wonder how many people after that incident, Sister Trina say it takes a big tragedy for people to go to God. I wonder how many people after that tragedy decided to give their lives to God, decided to say, you know what, I've been putting it off, you know, I've been thinking that I'm going to do right, you know, after I get, you know, going to the casino out of me, after I get drinking out of me, after I get smoking out of me. But in essence, we need to go to God as soon as we can, because
back.
Life is a promise.
Can you mute your phone? You have to mute your phone. Sorry about that. Sir.
Yeah,
you mute your telephone.
Malcolm, mute your phone. We can hear you. We can hear you in the background. Okay, so go ahead and give me. I'm gonna bring in Brother Gerard. Brother Gerard, are you on?
This is Brother LB.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Brother Gerard, what do you think about that? Well, Sister Trina said it takes tragedy to get people to go to God. What's your feedback on that?
Sometimes it does. Because of their upbringing, they didn't get a chance to bear witness to God in a teaching kind of way. And so, unfortunately, the only way sometimes our generation sees God is when you have a near-death experience or lose a loved one. And then when the pain is unbearable, those doors is closed, then you call, oh, my God, I can't believe this happening to me. You know, sometimes circumstances can make a atheist say, you know, oh, my God, you know. Yeah. And he or she probably won't even realize they're saying it, but God shows up right then and there because there's no all doors are closed, and it makes you reach for Him, and then when you get out of it, you know it's nobody but Him. In those situations, if they mature enough, they'll realize it was God, and hopefully that'll put them in a position where they can have a relationship with Him. But if they don't, then he'll wind up teaching you another lesson, unfortunately. So, yeah, I think that is very, very true, unless they have an opportunity for somebody to teach them who God is in a friendly way. My battery died. I still love you guys. I'm still on 2%, but I just want to let you know that it is very true that sometimes a tragedy will bring God will show up. In the storm, every time. So I think that that's what it is.
And you bring up a good point, man, that God will show up in a storm every time. So let me bring in Brother LB. Is Brother LB on? Okay. Okay. Sister Trina.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you this, and then Brother Malcolm, I want you to comment on this also. The people who, and this is really, really going to be sensitive, and this is really going to be sensitive, and I want to just put it out there right now. For the people who get caught for doing this act, of course, you know, right now everybody wants accountability to those people. To those people who get caught, will they receive forgiveness if they repent?
Yes, they will. They will. As God says in His Word, that He will forgive you if you repent. Once you repent, then your sins are forgiven. But it also says you will reap what you sow. So they still have to pay for what they did. You know, they still have to pay for what they did, but God will forgive them. That's why He always tells us to forgive people that does things to us. You know, we can forgive them, but it's still there. And He always says, forgive them, but allow Me to take care of the situation. Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is Mine, says the Lord, I will repay. He will forgive them, but they're going to reap what they sow. And He's going to fight for the people. He's going to avenge what happened to the people in Boston. God is definitely going to do that. So, yes, they repent, God will forgive them.
And Brother Malcolm, do you, how do you feel about that? Is there a bigger sin? Is there a little sin? How do you fall on
it? To my understanding, there is no such thing as a big sin or a little sin. Sin is sin. And the wages of sin is death.
Right.
But now, like she just said earlier, that they do have the opportunity to be forgiven by God if they ask for it. But now, that's how we're supposed to be as well. When people do things to us, we're supposed to forgive them. You know, a lot of people sometimes will say, I forgive you, but I won't forget. That's not how God intends us to be. When we forgive someone, we're supposed to forget it. We're supposed to put it far away from our mind and not bring it up anymore. But a lot of times we'll hold that in the background, you know. Well, I forgive you, but then a year from now, well, I remember when you did this, but I thought you forgave me.
Right.
Right.
You know, and especially in relationships, a lot of times husbands and wives, things will happen, because, you know, the devil can get into anybody.
That's right.
Things happen, and we forgive at the time, but we don't forget. You know, we get mad and then bring it up 2 years down the road, where remember when you was over there? That's not God's way. And you know the devil gets into people and causes us to remember or rehash on things that have happened in our past. You know, I know I have not lived a life for God all my life. And I thank God that He has changed me from what I used to be.
Mm.
And I do know that I'm not where I need to be still. I'm still a work in progress, in which we all are. But
yeah,
we've got to live every moment of our lives trying to please God. And it took one lady to take prayer out of schools, and I'm a school teacher, and I see every day the chaos that's going on in these schools, you know, and it is so prevalent that we need prayer back in these schools. But I feel like if one lady can take it out, it should be somehow several believers can come together and get it back in there, you know. Because I remember when I was in grade school, we would have to say prayer before we said the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's right.
But we don't do that anymore. They won't even allow us to say a prayer at sporting events anymore. And you know, all that is the devil having his way through the world, because you want to separate church and state. Well, that sounds good, but that's not really scripture, because God is in everything. You can't take God out of what he's already in. God is in the schools, he's in the buildings, he's in these different organizations. God is everywhere. Now, I'm not going to force my beliefs on you, but I do need you to understand that I do believe in the living God. Well, I tell you, I know for a fact, because I bring scriptures up in my lessons. And, you know, I'm waiting on the superintendent to come in and tell me that, well, you wrong, you can't do that.
Go ahead, brother LB.
Listen, if you have gone to court any time within the recent months, they have even taken God out of court. When you raise your hand, the judge asks you, "Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" And he does not say, "So help me God."
Yeah.
See, that's just a ploy of the devil.
I have yet to see one person on the media that's talking about gun violence saying we need to put prayer back in school. We need to put God back in school. Because if we put God back in these schools, this will be one way we can curb gun violence, because we have a higher power to answer to. I have yet to hear one person on that television say it. And it's so sad. I want to speak clear and frank. I understand that these people have set a bomb up and they killed three people, injured dozens other. But I also have another side of the script. Living in the government that we live in, I'm similar like how Malcolm said, the chicken's coming home to roost. Here you set out and you cause violence abroad. In other places, you cause havoc, so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, you didn't stop and realize that even the weakling may stop and re-strategize and come along and say, "Hey, I'm tired of this. Even if I take my key and I scratch the paint, that's a small victory for me." It may not be a very big victory for you, but it was a small victory for me. See, nothing good comes from anything bad. I'm a true believer in that. And I'm a true believer that at the end of the day, we all must meet our maker. And however we going to meet him, we shall meet him. The only thing we can do is live our lives as righteous as possible and understand that you may go, or your parents may go, or someone near you may go, but when you have the whole understanding of how the whole creation and creator of God is, then when a tragedy like that happens, it can soften the blow because you already know God's purpose. You know what he's here to do. So at the end of the day, my hearts go out to those victims. But my heart goes out to this country. It also does things abroad that is not being broadcast. So it's a different side of the script that I have to look at. If you're taking prayer out of these schools, these people out here killing each other, running them up. Yes, it is our last days. We are witnessing the beginnings of the beginning of the end of time. We're witnessing it right now. But I also have to step back and say, hey, what are we doing?
Right. There should be a strong force of positive going forward.
So, you know, I'm proud of you, Pastor Mo, proud of Dennis, you know. I'm proud of a lot of the people. But at the end of all of this, you know, we need more. We need more of you, people like you. If there's anybody besides Dennis and Pastor Mo that can reach people on a mainstream level, such as television, then please don't hesitate to plug this or Mo in order to have this revealing come out and say, hey, this is what is needed. You can't build a house on sand. It's going to eventually collapse.
That ain't a strong foundation.
Pardon?
I said it's got to have a strong foundation.
Yes, you have to have a very strong foundation. You have to have a very strong foundation, because at the end of all of this, we have to rebuild our nation to a degree where we understand that whatever we project out there, we have to do it in our own personal home as well. With our kids.
Okay. Right. You know, and that was, you know, like you said, man, no matter how you look at the whole situation, man, you're going to meet your maker. And you're going to individually meet your maker, whether a person tell you to do evil, and you idolize that person, that man or that woman as your God, and you still got to suffer the consequences when it's time. You know, I was looking online, and I was scrolling through some things, and I saw this thing with Al Pacino. He said, you know, God forgives, you know, the ones that do good. He said also, too, he'd rather not wait on God and go take it on his own and ask for forgiveness afterwards. And that's how a lot of people think right now. You know, I'll take care of this and I'll do it right now and I hit the repent button whenever it's time. But, you know, you got a rude awakening coming. You know, there's only so many repent buttons, I'm sure, that people are allowed after a while. So either way, how you look at the situation, whether you're going to do evil or you're going to do some, you know, whatever it is, like you said, brother said, a sin is still a sin, no matter what grade or how it is. If I stole a toothbrush, I sin. If that person shot somebody, he sin. A sin is a sin, no matter how you look at the situation. There's no big sin, no little sin. You know, in the human eye, yeah, it's a difference. But in God's eyes, no difference. When you look at the whole situation. And so you got to meet that maker. You already know what time it is. And again, man, we got to exercise our rights too, man. I tell a lot of people, man, learn your Bill of Rights. Because like you said, you put scriptures into your when you get up there and you speaking, you know, you know, and they're not going to say nothing to you, or if they do decide they want to say something to you, you still got to plant that seed as you go, no matter how you look at the situation. You got to say some words that's going to hit home, so that way they can understand and relate. You know, some people lost their soul, or that demon could be up inside of you, man, and they're not even thinking about you. So you got to have that word sometimes to kind of wake them up, to kick them up out of there. You know, these type of situations, man, you got to look at that. No matter how you say it, or wherever we at, you know, like they said, man, you know, three or more, all of the ingredients, you know, so you have in that church, man. So you got to put that word back. Just because they take it out, that don't mean that it's not there. That's when you're walking by faith and not by sight. So we got to keep it going, man. We got to keep it going, man. You know, no matter how you look at it, man. And again, people, we're having certain technical difficulties going on. So we, you know, just people just bear with us. I'm sorry that we couldn't really get nobody on the line. And I thank God for the ones that did make it online with us and sharing their thoughts, man. And we all coming into agreement and we showing that love. We was talking about the Boston Bunny. You know, saying hearts goes out to their family. Also, too, that I don't know if you heard about that. Pastor Mo did say something about the Waco, Texas. And also, too, man, hearts goes out to right here in Chicago, Illinois. The rain, you know, people lost loved ones. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, so you know, just gosh, you know, it's you know, people are dying everywhere, man, right about now.
Well, y'all put your heart and soul out. I lost a good pair of Air Force Ones in the flood today. Could y'all put your heart and soul out? That was $100 that I lost on, of course, a pair of Air Force One. We all losing out here. I lost in the flood, y'all.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah, the line's breaking up. Yeah, we kind of heard you. But our hearts goes out, man, to these people out here, man, with things things that are meaningful. you know, people have lost a lot of lives, man. We got to take it a little, you know,
Air Force Ones can be replaced, but these lives can't.
No, most definitely. Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah, man.
But
hello?
I will say this though. You know, all jokes aside, you know. Whatever you have to do, and I was just telling a lady friend of mine, change starts today. Don't start tomorrow. Don't start the next day. It starts right now. Change starts today. If you're going to stand up for anything, you know, like what Mo is doing, is making a difference without fearing of consequences and repercussions, because at the end of the day, he knows what he's doing is right. Do something different. If you see everybody and their mom putting tattoos on their body, don't get none. If you see everybody and their mom putting piercings on them, don't get any. That'll be different. Do something different. Change the game. Understand that you can make change and that you will still be respected for the things that you decide not to do along with everybody else. Change. Just go to a restaurant and pray before you eat your meal. That may invoke thought on somebody else who's in the restaurant and who had never really contemplated about praying before they ate their meal. Not understanding that, hey, I'm praying for not only that I eat a healthy meal or that God bless me with some money in order for me to eat this meal, but also I'm praying for the person who prepared the meal, because without that person, I wouldn't even have this meal. So it's more than just, you know, affecting change starts with the littlest thing. And you'll be surprised the domino effect.
You're right.
That's right. The domino effect. Yeah. Well, I know, Sister Trina, are you still there?
Uh-huh.
Are you still there? Okay. I know, guys. We got about a good 15 more minutes or so. So I just want to just kind of get everybody in there, man. Is there something that you want to kind of add to this conversation here?
I just want to say, you know, I like to encourage those ones in Boston and, you know, even in Waco, Texas, if they're listening, to just, you know, give their lives to God. It's time out for playing. You know, it's time to take God serious. You know, he is not something to take lightly. And you know, it's time to get it right, and it's, you know, it's best to hurry up and do it and not take it for granted. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Brother Malcolm, did you want to kind of add something there?
I just want to thank Pastor Mo for inviting me in tonight. And I will try to make this every Thursday night if I can. We really need more conversations about the power of God, and that's what I think our society is missing out on. We really need more people sharing the good news. And I commend Muhammad on being a part of something so powerful. You know, and I want to thank him for allowing me the invitation to come and join in tonight. And like I said, if it's the Lord's will, I will try to be in every Thursday night. Because this has truly blessed my heart, you know, to be able to witness with others about the goodness of God. You know, even though through the adversities, we've got to still know that God is God and God is in control.
Amen, amen. Praise God. That. Brother Gerard, are you online? I know he said his battery was down on his phone. Say, Pastor Mo, you still there?
I keep going in and out. Can anybody hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, everybody hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
And now, go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you going to go to, you was going to ask LB?
Yeah, I was just going to get LB. I know LB said his last closing remarks. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, LB, you wanted to. You have some more closing remarks for me?
Most definitely. I think, you know, you pretty much summed it up. I think everybody needs to turn around and recognize that there's a power higher than you that we will never be able to understand. You have to. Your steps are ordered. And God will see you through all your steps. He will use you. I think we as men and women have to understand that the gifts that God has given us, that we need to take these gifts and refine and make them better than what, so you can be a better person to affect change. But you have to understand that these things are all done in God's divine order. God wakes you up. God makes sure that you are wealthy beyond your means. And I'm not talking about just financially. Sometimes you can turn around and see the things that you don't have, but you don't appreciate the things that God has given you, like a roof, like transportation, a healthy child, food on the table. It may not be what you want, but God provided those things. He gave you the gifts in order to make sure that you were going to be fulfilled at the end of the day. So before you go to bed tonight, make sure that you give thanks. Just say thank you. If you don't have a whole lot of words, just thank you is a start. If you don't know how to pray, just thank you is a start. The rest will come eventually as you keep getting on your knees and praying. Sometimes prayer can start in the car. Turn the radio off.
Yeah. I'm not
just talk to him.
Amen to that. Yeah, mute your phones, you kids. All right, well, man, all that, everybody, what they said today, man, very powerful, man. And I do thank you all for getting on, you know what I'm saying, because God made it possible for you guys to be on the line today with us, man, to share the love, man, and the godly love as well. And so, Pastor Mo, if you, I don't know if your phone is going in and out still. Can you kind of chime in a little bit? Are you?
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, you good.
Hear me? Hey,
yeah.
Okay, listen, I think the goal was accomplished when it comes to talking about encouraging somebody who might be going through loss, who might not know how to handle the loss of somebody or tragedy hitting suddenly. And so we have to be encouraged. We have to know that we serve a God that created everything. And if we celebrate people who created the electricity or who created the first car or who created or who invented the first stoplight, if we celebrate people like that, how much more celebration do we have for our God who created everything, who is a sovereign ruler, who is everywhere at the same time, who is all-powerful and all-knowing? And so what I would say to those that are in Boston, just hold on. A lot of times we're not going to understand. We're not going to be able to wrap our minds around God's mind. God is too awesome. Our little old tiny brains can't understand everything that he does or why he does it, because he sees today and the future. So things can happen today that is actually meant for the future. And so we have to not give up or not give in. We have to continue to depend and trust on him. And I say this, and then, Brother Dennis, you go ahead and close us out, because my phone is the system. But I leave us with this. In the Bible, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, when Pharaoh was at their, Pharaoh and his army was behind them, after changing his mind to go get them and bring them back into slavery, they was trapped at the shore of the Red Sea. Well, as the story goes, Moses prayed to God, and God allowed the sea to split open and allow passage to go through without one, and this is I think a lot of times we miss this point, without one person getting killed that was a part of the caravan of the children of Israel. And once they got to the other side and Pharaoh and his army catches up with them, then God allowed the waters to close back up. And so once they got on the other side and going to the wilderness, they got hungry. And so God allowed bread to rain from heaven. And after they had enough bread, they got thirsty. And so God allowed water to come from a rock. And at that time, as they were passing through the land, there were some people occupying the land that they was stopping at that very moment. And those people thought that the children of Israel was coming to occupy that land. So this was the first battle. This was the first fight that they experienced as a free people. And so as Joshua led the charge and as Moses prayed for the people, he was up on the hill. And when he raised his arm up, the Israelites was winning the war. Help me right here. But when he got tired and his arm went down, they started losing the fight. And he lifted his arm up, he started winning the fight. And his arm went down, he started losing the fight. So what happened was he had took two people with him. He took Aaron and Ur.